sleeping inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit, will guide you and protect you from up here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Well, as I like to say, Friday is my favorite day of the week. Why? It's just because it's Friday. Good afternoon, good evening, my friends. Robbie Noel with you on the flip side, brought to you by the Republic Trading Group. On this Friday, August the 11th, Republic Trading Group's toll-free number, 1-800-691-7898. You call that number, we will answer any question you have about the noble metal. No pressure. Or if you're too afraid to call, you can always access the website at republictradinggroup.com. And if that address is too long to type out, you can always go to rbnlive.com and just click on the banner. It'll take you straight there. You don't even have to bother about typing stuff in. Well, a few minutes ago, the United Nations voted 15-0 to cessation of hostilities between Israel and Lebanon. At the same time, Israeli forces are marching on Lebanon as we speak. The Israeli Knesset will not vote on the UN resolution until Sunday. So does that mean an end to hostilities? Of course not. We won't know until Sunday, I guess, to find out what the Knesset says about this. And obviously we haven't heard from the combatants, otherwise known as Hezbollah. They have not commented on whether they will cease hostilities. Listening to a couple of the speeches at the UN a few minutes ago, Kofi Annan, and unfortunately, Condoleezza Rice, they both mentioned the same thing, that Hezbollah started this unfortunate conflict. Kind of reminds me, you know, during the Clinton administration, we often used to say, well, I often used to say, we need some adult supervision in Washington, D.C. And I swear, 10 years later, I'm saying exactly the same thing. We need some adult supervision. You see, because they're making an argument today about who started it first. I used to have arguments with my bigger brother when I was 7 years old about who started what first. Anyway, the children will continue to fight in the United Nations. We have more important things to do, and we'll pick that up when we return.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news, the much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion, If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England, and the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Friday, the host kind of goose off on Fridays. In other words, he doesn't do his due diligence and doesn't do his research for the show. So you open the phones whenever you do this. Anything you want to comment about, call in number 800-313-9443. You can speak to producer Paul Martin, standing by and ready to accept your calls. As I said, being Friday, anything on your mind. We started off the week talking about gold, the reasons to own gold. In other words, we gave you, one of the most important reasons to own gold, because obviously it's insurance not only against the declining dollar, but it's also an insurance against the idiots that run the country, otherwise known as idiot insurance. So if you have questions on gold, you want to comment about the ongoing mess in the Middle East, you want to talk about handing in gels and lotions at the airport in order to make you safer, be my guest. Quick check of how Wall Street ended the week. Ended on a down note, down Dow down 36 points, 11,088, NASDAQ all 14 at 2,057. According to the Associated Press, stocks dropped in light summer trading Friday after Apple Computer said its mishandling of employee stock options will require it to make significant changes in the third quarter. And if that's what you think the financial news was all about today, well, there you have it. In the metals complex, gold had a schizophrenic day. It did. It had one of those days again. The world was going to end early this morning, so gold went to $646. By the end of the day, they thought that, well, maybe it's not so bad after all. Gold closed down $1.80 when all was said and done. End of the day at $634.80. Silver ended off 15 cents at $11.97. Platinum reversed the trend by climbing $3 to end at $12. Freudian slip. I hope not. Ended the day at $1,247. Palladium off a buck at $3.20. Dollar significantly stronger by 43 basis points. Oil up 37 cents at $74.37 the ounce. As I said, it was a pretty crazy day in the metals complex, by and large, because we had so many conflicting reports coming out earlier this morning with, obviously, the announcement of the invasion of Lebanon by Israel. And as we mentioned at the top of the hour, the United Nations, a few minutes ago, voted 15-0 to cease hostilities in Lebanon. But we won't find that out until Sunday, which means basically the gold market took into account, obviously, the possibility of this happening, so it closed on a pretty marginal note, and we'll have to wait and see how the markets react next week. A lot of news coming out next week, producer price index, consumer price index, and all the rest of that stuff. And who knows, maybe there will be peace in the Middle East. Fat chance on that one. But ultimately, we still have to deal with the here and now. Because as Bill Bonner says today in his view of how the world is shaping itself from across the pond, he says, a chill air blew across the back porch. We were having lunch. And he asked himself a question, what if the airports didn't reopen? What if the terrorists could bring air traffic to a stop? Not just for a few hours, but for a few days or more. Or what if they were able to cripple the internet rather than air transportation? Either way, commerce as we know it would come to a halt. Stocks would collapse. The economy would plummet. When we think about it, we marvel at how easy it seems to bring down a commercial jetliner. That bottle of wine we carried back from Vancouver, for instance, well, it might just as easily have been a bottle of gasoline. High octane with a screw top. It would have taken only a few seconds to turn it into a Molotov cocktail. On the other hand, surely suicide terrorists must have already thought about it. Either there aren't as many of them as we think, or they have other plans on their mind. Anyway, we don't need to wait for terrorists to bring the economy to a grinding halt. A stock market crash would do that just as well, followed by deflation. That is how it happened the last time there was deflation in America, in the 1930s. The question is, could it happen again? No one seems to think so. Yet we watch the wobble of the Dow and think about those millions of shareholders who must be getting a little tired of holding stocks for the long run, wondering if the long run will last longer than they will. Well, it's been 8 years, with no growth whatsoever in stock prices. As for the NASDAQ, don't even mention it. All investors have gotten for their pains is a puny, pathetic dividend yield of less than 2%. And after taxes and inflation, guess what? Yes, they are losing money. So the question, I guess, must be, what would bring the Dow down sharply? What would it take to turn sentiment negative? What would it take to turn blue skies dark? Probably not too much is our guess. What is an investor to make of all this? Take the sentiment out. Examine the picture coldly. Stocks are still near their highs, not their lows. They are still expensive, not bargains. What could we hope to gain from them? Dividend yields do not even match inflation. In order to make him any money, his stocks would have to go up in price. But what would possibly make them go up at this point? Higher earnings? Lower interest rates? After the second, if rates go down again, they will more likely be signaling a wilting economy rather than a growing one. Stocks could, of course, go higher, even if the economy slumps, but when stocks are already so high, we wouldn't bet on that one. As to higher earnings, a note in today's mail sheds a sobering light on the ground that has been lost. Let us quote, "In many ways, the last few years should have been golden era for America's manufacturers. Since 1997, the productivity of U.S. factories has soared, rising at a 4.6 annual average rate. That's the fastest sustained rise in manufacturing productivity in at least 40 years and well ahead of the 1960s heyday of industrial prowessness. Yet despite these gains, the U.S. factory sector has all but imploded. Economists, business leaders, and politicians give all sorts of reasons for the dire state of U.S. manufacturing. Competition from low-wage offshore factories, an excessively strong U.S. dollar, high corporate taxes, and the rising bill for employee and retiree benefits. But there's a more surprising explanation of why U.S. manufacturers have fared so poorly. Factors, as fast as American factories have improved productivity and cut costs, foreign competition in Asia and Europe have charged ahead even faster. To all of this, we add an illustration from the Financial Times. Since October 2000, the dollar has lost 35% of its value against the euro. The decline ought to have handed American exporters a golden opportunity to increase sales in the eurozone, bring down the trade deficit with the area. But the U.S.-Europe trade deficit actually went up during the period. It, as a matter of fact, doubled. So what do we make of this? Well, let's go through a few little lessons, shall we? Lesson number one. It will take more than a decline of the dollar to revive manufacturing in the United States and the balance of trade. It will take a genuine change in sentiment that makes Americans reluctant to buy anything, including things made overseas, and that will take a serious recession. Lesson number two. An investor has more to lose than gain by diving into U.S. stocks right now, because there's little hope of much upside, and the downside is a vast chasm of darkness. Little by little, or all of a sudden, sentiment is going to change toward the downside. We see it already. Housing prices are no longer rising in some areas. As a matter of fact, they've begun falling. Stocks have gone nowhere for a very long time, certainly not up. America's military adventures overseas are bogging down. Commuters are running out of gas. Consumers are running out of money. Energy and commodity prices are still rising, showing little signs of coming down. Well, is the empire peaking out, or is it going broke? Little by little, or all of a sudden, sentiment amongst its subjects is bound to go a little sour. What do you, Mr. and Mrs. America, do about that? Well, as we started the week, we illustrated to you that gold is just simply an insurance against a declining dollar. On Tuesday, we explained to you the various products that are available. And there's a whole array of products that are available, from American Gold Eagles, 1 ounce, half ounce, quarter ounce, 1/10 ounce, to European gold, to numismatic gold. Wednesday, we explained to you the various methods of payment, some of the legal restrictions, legal obligations that gold dealers have when it comes to financial transactions. And unfortunately, yesterday, because the events had unfolded in London, we missed a whole segment that we were going to do. Is it better to buy real gold, or is it better to buy that paper stuff that they're pushing on Wall Street? See, because a lot of people have said to me, well, I don't want to bother with storage of gold. Who knows? Somebody may come and rob me. Or the other one that really gets me, what happens if my house burns down? For those people who worry about their house burning down because they stash their gold in their house, let me just put your minds at rest at this point in time and explain to you, gold is indestructible. It does it. If your house burns down, you may have lost everything else you own, but there will still be a pile of gold sitting there somewhere. So gold is indestructible. You cannot destroy the stuff. So your only concern is where do you stash it? And as I said, some people say, well, why do I have to even bother with that? Why can't I just go and buy an exchange-traded fund? After all, they are extremely popular right now. And yes, they are extremely popular right now. And they are also the cause for the huge swings that you see in gold markets on a daily basis. Today was a case in point. We had almost a $20 move in the price of gold today, from high to low. Here's the problem with exchange-traded funds. Exchange-traded funds, and just so you know, to buy a gold exchange-traded fund, it is priced at a tenth ounce of gold. In other words, if gold is selling for $660 an ounce, you will pay $66 for an ETF share. In other words, you pay a tenth of the price of gold. Yes, you do not pay for storage because it is held by an independent depository. The physical gold is actually there. You actually do have a share of gold. The problem with, and it's a problem with anything that they say, well, this is as good as gold. The government says it all the time. They've got inflation index funds that they introduced back in the 90s. And Secretary of the Treasury at the time, Robert Rubin, came out and made a famous statement saying, these are as good as gold. No, Mr. Secretary, not as good as gold. It's a piece of paper that says it's as good as gold, but it's not. See, what the government introduced as something that is good as gold is that it will reflect whatever the inflation rate is, which ultimately they say that's what gold's purpose is. So it's as good as gold. Well, that would be true if the fact was that the government didn't manipulate the inflation figures on a consistent basis. Why does the government manipulate inflation figures? Because if they had to reflect the true state of inflation, they'd have to pay out big bucks for cost of living increases. Now, somebody's calling me, which is unfortunate. Because Jeffrey Bennett is on vacation, and I'm the only one at Republic Trading Group, and I'm on the air. So, is there anything as good as gold outside of the real thing? Of course there not. When you get back to the ETFs, let's say you buy a share on an ETF, and it costs you $66. And I'll just keep it simple. And let's say the price of gold goes to $1,000. And you sell your ETF share. Well, your ETF share has now risen from $66 a unit to $100 a unit. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? I got to make money on the run-up in the gold prices. The problem is how the government defines what gold is. You see, the U.S. Treasury defines gold as a collectible, which means it is taxed at the maximum capital gains rate of 28%. Capital gains paid on profits from stocks is taxed at the lowest rate, which is 15%. The question is, why would you want to invest in a piece of paper that says it's as good as gold and then be subjected to a 28% capital gains tax? Now, as we often say to many of the clients who call us up and ask us advice about taxes, capital gains tax, let me say straight off the bat, we aren't in any way, shape, or form license to give you tax advice. What you do when you buy physical gold and you have capital gains, that is a decision for you to make, because it's between you, your maker, and your accountant. We at Republic Trading Group do not have to register what you buy when you buy it. Unless, of course, you want to use cash, then we are obligated to report or keep records of, I should say, all transactions that are cash transactions. A lot of people are confused about this. Had a few calls today, which is the reason I'm going over it again. It is easier to tell you what the government says is not cash than to tell you what the government says is cash. What is not cash is personal checks and bank wires or bank checks drawn on the bank where you have an account. In other words, the government says that so long as it has your name and your address on the transaction, it is not classified as cash. Everything else is classified as cash. That's cash, that's money orders, bank checks drawn on banks where you do not have an account, gold, silver, are all cash transactions and have to be records kept on those transactions. Because if during a calendar year, and when I say a calendar year, I don't mean from the 1st of January to the 31st of December. A calendar year is based on when you made the first purchase. So if you bought it on March the 1st, it's a calendar year till next year, April, is a calendar year. If you exceed $10,000 during that period using any of the instruments the government classifies as cash, it becomes a reportable transaction. You have to fill out an IRS form 8300. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing wrong with doing that at all. If you want to spend $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 on a gold purchase, and you write out a personal check, we are under no obligations to make any reporting on that whatsoever. It's not that complicated. Anyway, if you have any calls, I mean, if you have any questions, you can call us at 1-800-313-9443. Take a short break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Headline News. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Over 100 million Americans have dangerously high cholesterol. Are you one of them? North American Urban Spice has developed Colestamine, an all-natural food-based supplement proven to give your body the nutritional support it needs to lower cholesterol and improve circulation naturally without the side effects of harmful prescription drugs. Call today, 800-243-5242. 800-243-5242 for Colestamine.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back, my friends, on this Friday. It's Robbie Noel with you for another half hour. Jeffrey Bennett's on vacation. Wish him well. We'll need a little vacation from time to time. In the meantime, let's go to Mike in Washington. Hey, Mike, how are you going?
You there?
Yeah, there you are.
Hey, what's happening? You know, I wanted to ask a comment or ask a question about your last comment about what constitutes cash.
Right.
Well, if of course you wouldn't have to take transaction records if I sent in a personal check because that's already being recorded.
Well,
everything
sure.
is being monitored through your banks anyway. Is that not correct?
Oh, absolutely.
So of course you wouldn't have to have a record of the purchase or keep a log of that. But what about cashier's checks? Well, how does that fit in?
Well, so long as the cashier's checks are drawn from the same bank where you have an account, those are classed just like personal checks are.
So that would be a monitored commodity or medium of exchange as well then?
Sure. Put it this way. The easiest way to understand it is anything that does not have your name and address affixed to it is classified by the government as cash.
Oh, I see. I see. Hmm. Well, we don't want to send $100 bills through the mail anyway, right? Most people might want to use that for their vacation or something.
Sure. And it's not, by the way, a lot of people get wiggy. Over the years that I've been in business, I mean, people have sent me wads of $100 bills wrapped up in tin foil with elaborate, almost like smuggling drugs. Let me just say, it's perfectly legal in America to ship cash anywhere in the country, so long as it doesn't violate a certain condition, such as the $10,000 reporting requirement. It's just the same as you can leave America with a briefcase full of cash or gold. There's no law against it, so long as you declare it before you leave. If you don't declare it, well, then you're in a world of hurt. But yeah, it's
well, that kind of you know, takes the reason out of being anonymous.
Anonymous.
Yeah, thank you. I can't talk right now. I'm late at work.
Well, yes, I understand. I understand that problem. Trust me on that one. I have butchered more of the King's English than anybody I know on radio.
Yeah, you still call it the King's English, huh?
Yes, old habits die hard.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Hey, well, yeah. Thanks for the answering the question. I just, you know, of course you wouldn't have to take a list and keep a list if that's coming that way because it's already being monitored. But if somebody was to send in cash, like, you know, walkable cash, greenbacks, ferns, or...
Well, the problem is with cash is that you got to deposit it in a bank. And so subsequently, the bank requires you when you deposit cash over certain limits to fill out a form. It varies from bank to bank. You can't use, you know, your bank in your area. Some banks have different requirements. Some banks, for instance, if you've got an account with a bank, they'll give you cashier's checks, as many as you want, so long as they don't exceed $3,000. Some have the same kind of policy, but it's $5,000. So it's not so much, there's no uniform regulation that all banks adhere to. Certain banks have different restrictions than other banks.
Huh.
And I have to illustrate this point as well, thanks to the Patriot Act. It is not individual companies where a lot of these rules and regulations apply to, but under the Know Your Customer rules and regulations that they sneak through in the Patriot Act and obviously the new and improved Patriot Act 1 and 2, it puts a lot more onus on the bankers to report what they are required to define as suspicious activity accounts. And the unfortunate thing is when they introduced that legislation initially, because it stated that if a banker did not flag a suspicious activity account and subsequently that account was found to be suspicious, it was the banker who ultimately would face jail time and or fines. So subsequently, all the banks reported every single transaction. They flagged every account. The problem with this is it caused immense problems for the U.S. Treasury Department, which, according to Michael Chertoff, when he gave a speech to the Bankers Association, apparently he let the cat out of the bag when he announced they only have 5 investigators investigating suspicious activity reports coming to the U.S. Treasury Department. The problem is that they were receiving millions of suspicious activity reports from bankers all over the country who didn't want to run foul of the law, so they just simply reported every single transaction.
So, I have one other question, if you don't mind.
Sure, fire away.
Okay, you've talked about Zimbabwe before.
Yes.
And about the hyperinflation that's happening there.
Right.
Well, obviously, they're using their type of Federal Reserve note.
Sure.
And how is the commodity being able to be traded there? Are there incredibly tight government restraints against taking gold and converting it to the paper if they had to? Are there legal tender laws that are being thrust upon them without a choice of being able to...
Trust me, the problems in Zimbabwe, by the way, are well documented on our website, republictradinggroup.com. As a matter of fact, if you go to the archives for Thursday, funny you should bring it up, because there's a story from Zimbabwe that illustrates that, and I'll just read a little bit to you.
Okay.
With only five full banking days left before August 21st deadline for the changeover to the new currency system, security forces have raised their levels of alertness, fearing that long lines at banks could degenerate into riots. Police in Harare have already petitioned the Federal Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe over the continued issuing of old bearer checks by banks to the public, saying this could increase pressure on the banking sector as the deadline approaches. Believe it or not, they've got a police force that's out there policing people who are trying to convert the old currency into anything that they can to convert it into the new currency. And security agents, according to the Zimbabwean Daily, it says Zimbabwean security agents have seized more than, if you can believe this number, $10 trillion in old banknotes at the country's main airport in a drive against money laundering. The official Herald newspaper said agents intercepted the money at Harare International Airport on Tuesday as it was being smuggled back into the country to beat the August 21st deadline. Police say money laundering investigators have been have launched investigations against more than 3,000 firms and individuals since the beginning of last week. You see, what they did is they changed the currency. Zimbabwe has a they got a $100,000 note, and you got to bear in mind, the poorest people in Zimbabwe are millionaires, but it costs $1 million to buy a loaf of bread. And the reason they went to the $100,000 note is people couldn't couldn't carry all the notes that were required. You've got an inflation rising at 1,000% a month. I mean, it's nuts what's going on there. But people still accept the currency as barter and exchange, even though it is pretty much worthless. I mean, people carry currency in the back of the... I mean, to transport, to go and do your weekly shopping, you've got to basically take... You got to put the currency in the boot of your car. I know it's hard for people to fathom this out, but this is this is the acceptance people will have of a official government script, which a lot of people say to me, "Well, will the U.S. dollar ever disappear altogether?" And obviously, no. It'll still be there. It's just the matter of how many Federal Reserve notes it's going to require to purchase everyday items.
So it's going to be the same thing as in the Weimar Republic, where they'd take money in wheelbarrow loads, take down to buy stuff, and then somebody would steal their wheelbarrow.
Well, sure, because the wheelbarrow was worth more than what was in what's in the wheelbarrow. So that's a problem with fiat currencies. This is why. Now you've got to appreciate something. The U.S. Federal Reserve note's been around the longest of any fiat currency right now.
That's right.
It's about 90 years. Since 1913. It's the longest surviving fiat currency on the planet.
Well, I thought the average for any fiat currency was 100 years, average. You're saying that's the highest?
Well, right now, the U.S. Federal Reserve note has been the long-running fiat currency that still retains value, sure.
Hmm.
But we're coming very close to that end of that 100-year time span. Look, even Alan Greenspan admitted before the Numismatic Association 3 years ago, he got up and he gave a speech about fiat money, that fiat money always returns to its mean value.
Which is zero.
Well, it's, yeah, a piece of paper with ink on it. And he said he wouldn't be surprised at some point in time we were trading cockle shells. He couldn't say gold. You know, even though he was the preeminent gold bug up until he became head of the Federal Reserve. And he decided to go over to the dark side.
For taking my call. I'm going to get off phone and let somebody else call in, but thanks for answering my question.
All right, brother. My pleasure. Not sure if we have any other calls. Do we have any other calls? I don't have my screen up right now. Oh, there we go. Thanks, Paul. You are the man. The situation in Zimbabwe is just going from bad to worse. It illustrates, as I said, that people will hold on to a fiat currency to the point where people should have abandoned the fiat currency in Zimbabwe a long time ago. In 20 years, this is where the currency has gone from. 20 years ago, the Zimbabwean dollar was equal to the pound sterling, which was basically a two-for-one split. Today in Zimbabwe, the unofficial rate for $1 is $250,000. You want to figure out what the price of a 1 ounce gold piece in Zimbabwe is today? I think the last time I did the math was something like 59 million Zimbabwean dollars for 1 ounce of gold. Is that going to happen in the land of the free? I refuse to say home of the brave after, well, let's not get into that one. But can we see the ravages of inflation, higher interest rates? Of course we can. As I often say, to illustrate, and a lot of people have a hard time understanding this, in the last 4 years, gold has not doubled in price. Gold has remained exactly the same. The only thing that has changed with gold value is now it requires twice as many Federal Reserve notes to buy the same 1 ounce gold coin as you could 4 years ago. 4 years ago, you could have forked over $300 and got a 1 ounce gold coin. Today, it's going to cost you $600+. That's not a rise in gold value. That's a decline in dollar purchasing power. Now, I understand it's hard for people to comprehend. As I often illustrate, if you got $10,000 in a savings account and you had it a year ago, you look at it today, you see that same 10,000 digit, and you think, I haven't made any money, I haven't lost any money. When in reality, over the past 12 months, you've actually lost $2,000 in purchasing power. Because what $10,000 bought you last year is going to cost you $12,000 this year. It is a very subtle way of eroding purchasing power because we are so conditioned to digits. And there's no question we are moving towards a digital era. Look, Las Vegas figured that out long time ago by issuing chips. When you go to Las Vegas and you hand over your Federal Reserve notes, they give you a pile of chips. What are the chips? I don't know what the chips are. So you spend them freely because you don't see the connection with the money. All you see is chips. It works very successfully in Las Vegas. You go to Las Vegas today, it's a big bustling city. It wasn't built on winners. That city was built on losers because they managed to psychologically take the money out of the equation and just give you chips in exchange. It's the same thing when they took gold away from American citizens. They said, no, give us your gold, and we'll give you these really nice pieces of paper that are just as good as gold. My friends, there's nothing as good as gold, other than gold itself. Gold is a unique metal. The reason it's a precious metal is because there's not a lot of it out there. I try to explain on a consistent basis, why is gold so precious? If you took all the gold that's ever been mined since the beginning of time, you can put it on a basketball court, it would be about 18 feet high. People say, well, that's a lot of gold. Well, yeah, if it was in private hands, it would be a lot of gold. But unfortunately, it's not in private hands. Two-thirds of that is held by governments, central bankers, and financial institutions. A small, minute percentage of that is actually in the hands of the people. Which is why I often say, when we start seeing gold breaking through $1,000, heading for $2,000 an ounce, people are going to be in for the shock of their life. Because even though the official quoted price from COMEX will be, say, $1,000 an ounce, does that mean you can walk into a coin store and buy an ounce of gold for $1,000? Of course not. That's what they'll pay you for an ounce of gold, but that's not what you're going to pay for an ounce of gold. Because if all of a sudden the supply and demand equations start shrinking, dealers could ask $1,500 an ounce for gold. And you have an option to make. Yes, Capitalism 101. You can plunk down your $1,500 and walk away with an ounce of gold, or you can just simply put your $1,500 in your pocket and walk out without an ounce of gold, and you are subjected to the ravages of a declining purchasing power of your Federal Reserve notes. That's what happens to the people in Zimbabwe. People in Zimbabwe are now starting demanding what happened in Argentina and Brazil and other South American countries when their currency was devaluing on an hourly basis. They were demanding to get paid twice a day. Because when they cashed their checks in the morning, they knew that by the time they cashed their checks in the afternoon, it would be worth substantially less than when it was in the morning. And what did they do when they cashed their checks? They ran off and they bought tangible assets. Things, real stuff. A lot of people forget the lessons that have taken place in this hemisphere in the last decade. What happens when banks close down? Well, what happens when banks close down and people can't get their money out of banks? Things that you take for granted right now achieve a monetary currency. For instance, in Brazil, when they shut the banks down for a week and a half, and people were only allowed to withdraw 200 pesos, or whatever currency they have in Brazil, a week, all of a sudden that chicken that was scratching in the backyard now had currency. Things attain currency in times of economic turmoil. And people are more than happy to exchange goods and services for stuff. There's a whole economy that generates itself in times of trouble and strife. And gold is the ultimate bartering asset to hold in those kind of conditions. There's no question about it. Gold is king. He who owns the gold makes the rules. That's been true 1,000 years ago. It is as true today. My passion for gold is based on my personal life experiences. I've seen what happens in a country where people know full well what is coming down the pike and what is ultimately going to happen, and they make the decision to move their assets into gold. People that did that prior to the event happening maintain their wealth. Prior to Nelson Mandela coming into power in South Africa, the price of a 1 ounce Kruger Rand in South Africa was $300. Yes, the world welcomed the Rainbow Nation. Everything was going to be just fine. Democracy had broken out in Southern Africa. Well, as soon as democracy broke out, the currency declined dramatically. South African Rand went from 2 to 1 against the US dollar to 13 to 1. The value of gold in rands went from 300 Rand to 3,500 Rand. The people who were smart enough to convert their currency, the rands, into gold prior to the ANC communist government taking control in South Africa, maintained their wealth. It also caused problems. Because all the black people in South Africa said, see, look, these white people. These white people will always be rich. We'll always be poor. No, it's because they made a logical decision. And now, granted, people in Southern Africa have a closer affiliation to gold than most other people anywhere in the world. For many years, many people were under the misconception that the South African Rand was backed by gold. As a matter of fact, today there's no currency that is backed by gold. People say, well, what about the euro? The definition of a currency backed by gold is you can take whatever that currency is, walk into the bank and say, hand me over a gold coin. If they cannot do that, it is not a currency backed by gold. Oh, I know they give it lip service and say, well, 15% of the euro is backed by gold. Well, go to Europe and take a euro, walk in the bank and say, yeah, give me my 15% in gold. They'll look at you as if you're nuts. The same way they look at you as you walk into any bank in America and you go, yeah, do you guys sell gold? They go, huh? What? No, you're in the wrong store. There's a reason banks don't sell gold. And it's a long, convoluted reason why they don't sell gold anyway. But my passion for gold is based on what I've seen personally. Nothing more than that. It is not something I read in a book. It's not something I heard on the radio. It's something I witnessed with my very own eyes. And that's why I always draw parallels between South Africa and America. South Africa went through what America is going through today 20 years ago. The fear of terrorism. Obviously, the rest of the world saw it as the oppression of a small minority white group against a large majority black group. They didn't understand the terrorism concept at the time. South Africa had its own Patriot Act. It was called the Terrorism Act of 1976. South Africa wanted to thwart the financing of terrorists. They introduced stringent money controls, introduced a two-tier currency, a currency that was only exchangeable within South Africa and an external currency that you could only exchange overseas. Now, I don't know if I've just blown through. Yes, I did. I blew through all the breaks. Didn't even know it. That means I must have had a good time. Well, my friends, till Monday, have yourself a great weekend. Till then, see you, bye.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.